Heard a few hand claps for the coffee bar that's opening back up on Father's Day. It will be coffee only for the next several months, okay? But it's a good time to start reintegrating and fellowshipping together. We still have hand sanitizing stations outside, and we're asking you to use those when you come in before you touch the door handles just to keep safe. If you feel it necessary to wear a mask, we ask you that you do that. And those that aren't, don't put pressure on those who are, and vice versa. Okay, it's an individual preference, and we acknowledge those individual freedoms and allow people to do as they wish. Also, with the handshaking and hugging, some of us are willing and ready to receive that, but some aren't. So don't be offended if someone says, I'm not ready for that, then just put your hands up. What we're practicing is we're practicing preferring our brother over ourselves. Okay? And thank you. That was warmly received this morning. But that's what we're practicing, okay? We're going to keep seats the way they are for a while, but also when people come and they need those seats, we're going to take the signs up, okay? And that's what's happening this morning, and so we're thankful. We had a wonderful men's prayer meeting yesterday. I encourage you men to get out for 45 minutes on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. It will help you. You need to learn to pray. It's good to be around other men who are praying and who are also learning to pray. And it builds unity and strength in the body, and our men need that as we go and our leaders in our community and in our homes. And plus, we get to really hone in on some specific needs that are in the body. So this morning, if you have a prayer request, take out your card that's in front of you and put a prayer request on that and fill that out. We're getting 1 to 2 of these a week, which is fine. I'm thankful there's not that many prayer requests that we have to pray over. But if you have a need, we don't know about that need, and we can't pray about that need unless you put it on this card, or if you're watching us online, you can text your prayer request to 304-389-7620, and we will make sure that our prayer teams get those. That's how we are lifting one another up and bearing one another's burdens during this season right now. Lisa usually gives you a few nuggets during offering time, but she's going to wait till the end of the service this morning. That's what she's feeling, and I want her to obey God too. And so we're going to wait on that. It must be good. And thank you, Aaron, for obeying Holy Spirit this morning and giving us that word. Goes along to somewhat of what I'm speaking on this morning. Am I missing anything before we get into the word? Susan, where are you at? Am I missing anything? Did I cover the coffee bar? Okay. You did see that summer break for the month of July is coming up. That means we only have 3 more Wednesday night midweek recharge services. We're studying the book of Galatians. Our goal is to finish chapter 3 in the next 3 weeks, and then we will take a break for the summer. What we do during summer break, and it's coming to my mind that I didn't put the sign-up sheet out there, and I will get it after church. We have 5 Wednesdays in July, and each Wednesday night we gather at a different location, and we have coffee and refreshments together. It's like Sheets or Starbucks or one of those places. We go outside for 15 minutes. We have a live broadcast, and Lisa does those, and I'm the tech guy. And then we shut the live broadcast off, and we fellowship with 3 or 4 couples. So we'll have a sign-up sheet with the location. That helps you to get to know other families in our church. I say couples, but listen, family units could be a single mother. It could be a grandmother raising kids. It could be a grandmother living on her own, a widow. Whatever family unit you have, we want to meet with you in small groups during the month of July as we take a summer break from meeting together. If you have any questions about that, then you can see us after the service. Are you ready for some word? Good, good. Let's get our Bibles out and turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians. the 10th chapter, and I'm going to share a message with you this morning titled, The Tools of the Trade. The Tools of the Trade. Before we dive into that, let me give you a little monologue. I feel like Jimmy Kimmel or one of those guys. But my conversations this week have really led me to make some decisions and observations about life, especially life in America in 2020. Can anyone relate? My observations have actually allowed me to see things a little more clearly. I began the year preaching a message on clear vision. A lot of times when we share messages like that, even in the message, it's prophetically announcing something that God wants to do. I was talking about having clear vision, and maybe you took that to mean having clear vision about the purpose that God has for you or a vision that you have for your life, and that is wonderful, but the observations that I'm making and what I'm having clear vision about is my own heart. This time period that we've gone through, this pandemic and what we have experienced now with riots and protesting, is actually making it clearer to men where their hearts are. When I say men, I'm not using it as a pronoun for a gender. I'm talking about the human race. Culture seems to be spinning out of control on a global spectrum. Violence, some from perpetrators or from perpetrators who are supposed to be protectors. Violence in our streets, protests, health risk due to a virus have all of a sudden taken a back seat in the media to looting and rioting. My focus has been consumed by the attention I was giving to the circumstances and the situations in our world. And I was beginning to slowly conform to the culture. When all reality, I'm called to be a transformer of my culture. I don't want to lose my focus. I don't want you to lose your focus. I'm a kingdom-minded man. Holy Spirit has prompted in me this scripture this morning from Romans 13:11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Isn't that amazing that your salvation is nearer to you now than when you first believed? Because we're so wrapped up in the term salvation of being born again. When I'm speaking to most of you this morning who are already born again, salvation means deliverance, completeness, wholeness, well in their body, in your spirit, in your soul, in your mind, in your emotions. Your salvation is nearer than when you first believed. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So out of all of that, God directed me and guided me to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 3 through 6. And I'm going to read it to you now from the New King James, and we'll launch into this message on tools of the trade. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I've always had a difficult time understanding that scripture. I think most of you, if you were honest, you would also, in conversation, tell me that you've had a difficult time, especially with taking every thought into captivity. I see some heads nodding. May I read it to you from the Message Bible, and maybe this will help clear some things up, and then we will understand the title of the message, and how God wants us to use the tools that He's given us. The world is unprincipled. It's dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way. We never have, we never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing the entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. Did you get that? The world is unprincipled. The culture of our world is cutthroat. We live in a cutthroat society where they operate on unethical dealings and unfair treatment of others. I'm talking about the culture of the world. I'm not talking about a group of people. I'm not talking about an organization. See, here's what you have to do this morning. You have to take all carnal-mindedness and put it to the side. You have to put your spiritual thinking caps on. You have to be receptive in your spirit, because I'm speaking on spiritual terms this morning. But if you have a fleshly mindset today, and you're going to, your attention and focus, like mine was beginning to do, was drifted, and my attention was captured by all that was going on naturally and physically in the world, you begin to conform to the culture. But I'm talking on spiritual levels this morning. And so when I say the world, I'm really talking about an age. I'm talking about a culture, not talking about groups of people, although groups of people get sucked into that culture, that society, and that world mindset. And it's unprincipled. Do you know that Jesus said that you are in this world, but you are not of this world? Wow. There's some tension. There's tension between the kingdom-minded believer and the age that he or she lives in. In it, but not of it. There's tension pulling you back and forth about how can I be in the world but not of the world. Now, people have taken this to extremes and say that you should not do anything that is worldly. And then they begin to tell you that you shouldn't enjoy life, that you shouldn't have electricity in your home, that you shouldn't drive a vehicle, that you shouldn't go to a swimming pool. I mean, these become very legalistic, and they want to try to tell you that you're in this world, but you're not of this world, and there's a tension. And if you get caught up in a religious mindset, that tension will begin to pull you further and further away from a kingdom mindset. But you don't want to be so dominated by the culture around you that then you're sucked into the views of the world, and your worldview is so skewed and messed up that you don't see anything that's kingdom-minded. And I'm afraid that what is happening is that people that are in the church, part of the kingdom of God, that is immovable, unshakable, ever-abounding, always increasing, you can amen me anytime you want to, that they forfeit the benefits of the kingdom of God to be a part of and be accepted in a culture that is ungodly and unprincipled. Here's a good question. How do I navigate that tension? You have to ask yourself that, and you need to begin to ask Holy Spirit. And as Paul White said last week, you may have to go to the mat and wrestle with God about how do I navigate that tension between the things of being in the world but not of the world and being kingdom-minded. And Scripture gives us some really good insight into defining the world system. If you really get into the Scripture, you will see how especially Apostle Paul began to describe and define to the churches in Ephesus and the church over in Colossae and the churches in Galatia and Thessalonica. He began to lay out for them this unprincipled society and how they could be in it but not of it. Jesus himself gave us an incredible sermon on a mountain that are the attitudes that we need to be. And when we are those attitudes that he focuses on, and they're called the Beatitudes, if you don't know what I'm talking about, the attitudes that you need to be, then you are become more and more kingdom-minded. Paul then reminds us that we should not be conformed to this age, but we should be transformed. Here's what happens. When you begin to be conformed to the world system, it includes imitating ideals of the world. You begin to copy the behavior of the world. Now, you would probably hear within Christianese terms like, how close can I get to the world and still be in the kingdom, and you're straddling the fence. These types of terminologies that get thrown around in phraseologies. But it literally what Paul is saying to us, yes, Jesus said you're in the world, but you're not of the world. So you ought not be imitating the ideals or the behaviors of those that are caught up in that world system. Can I just put it down where the rubber meets the road? I ought to be able to tell the difference between you and someone who is not a believer. Don't accept its opinions. We are so caught up. See, we become conformed to worldly systems and the culture of this age because we want to be accepted by people that are in the world. I know we want friends. Everybody wants to have friends. And you can be friendly to non-believers, and you ought to be friendly to those that are around you because Christ died for them as well. All were included at the cross. The cross is an inclusive as it can get. He said that he died once and for all. That's inclusive. He didn't leave anybody out. All have the opportunity to have everlasting life. Matter of fact, it's already in you. You just need to be awakened to it, recognize it, accept it, and confess to that he has provided that for you. But if you are wanting acceptance from the world and you begin to accept their opinions before too long, it's like putting a frog in a pot of water. If it's boiling when you put him in there, he's going to jump right out. But if you slowly turn the temperature up on him, he'll never know that the temperature is being turned up, and before you know it, he's a cooked frog and we can have some frog legs. And that's what happens when you begin to accept the opinions of the world so that you can be accepted. So many people are rejected and they have a sense and a feeling rejected for whatever circumstances and events in your life that have caused you to feel that way, and so you are compelled to jump on board with anyone that will give you a positive opinion about who you are. But be careful that you don't get sucked into that worldly system that then begins to control and manipulate you with those opinions. Don't adopt its culture. See, when Paul said don't be conformed, he's saying don't imitate their behavior, don't accept their opinions, and don't take on their form of life, their way of life, the way of doing things that the world does things. See, as I'm speaking to you this morning, I'm navigating that same tension that I've asked you to ask that question about. Because I can feel, I'm speaking to you, I see you with my physical eyes, I see your responses, reactions, but beyond that, in the spirit, there's tension in the room. Because some have been pulled in a direction. I'm not preaching you out of heaven and into hell this morning or vice versa. This is not a heaven-hell issue. This is an issue of not conforming but being transforming. We don't walk into a situation in the world and transform to the culture of the world. We transform what we walk into as kingdom-minded individuals. And that is a heavy tension. But the prophecy, Aaron, right on it, we have got to be light in the world. And when we put on our light suit, he doesn't hide us under a bushel. He puts us on a lampstand so that the light can be seen. But when you will begin to imitate the world's ideas, the system and the opinions, and you adopt their way of life, you're putting that light under a bushel. Didn't say the light wasn't shining. It's just under a bushel. Again, that's why you have to hear me this morning on a spiritual plane. Because if you don't, you'll walk away offended this morning, and that's not my intention. That's not my intention at all. If you allow the system of the world, it will squeeze you into its mold. And my concern is that many have become so well adjusted to the world's culture and customs that they have fit in without really realizing that they're fitting into the custom and culture of the world. The result is we have believers now in pews who have become unprincipled. You are dealing in unethical dealings, and you're treating people unfairly. In other words, you're operating outside the principles of the kingdom of God. I hope that the silence this morning means you are contemplating what I'm saying and really chewing it up. We are called to be ambassadors. That's what it means to be in the world, but not of the world. Every principle and ideal and thought that I have comes from headquarters, which are in heaven. I'm more concerned, and my prayers are more focused on heaven to earth than earth to heaven. I'm not worried about getting there but as much as I am getting what's there here. The culture around you, if you will allow it, will always drag you down to a level of immaturity. If you choose not to implement your God tools of the trade, then it's possible, listen, to be lured into the system of the world in such a way, here's really a PowerPoint, you will be lured into that system in such a way that you will no longer be an impact in it or to it. But we're kingdom people, so we should be making an impact in the world that we're living in without being a part of it. And you're saying in your minds and hearts right now, I wish you'd preach on grace. And I am. I am preaching on grace. I'm preaching on the kingdom of grace and the principles that are involved in that we need to implement in our lives so that we don't drift into a culture that we conform to, but we transform the culture that we are a part of. I like this one, Frank. Thank you for this. Our tools trump the tools of the flesh. Our tools are more powerful than the tools of this world system. See, initial reactions are fueled by what we see. And so if you turn on the news and you see rioting and you see looting and you see protest, even though they could be possibly peaceful, but it's visible. See, because the world system operates in the tangible and the visible. And then it fuels reactions. And then when we react, a lot of times that reacting is because we've conformed. Stay with me. The reality is that the world system is tangible and visible, and thus its tools operate in the flesh. The reality of the kingdom is we operate by faith in an invisible realm. Lisa has brought this point out so many times to us to show us how the old covenant system, the fleshly system, was all based on they could hear the bleeding of the lamb. They could smell the flesh being burnt. They could hear the cries of the people and the slaughterings of the lambs and the incense burned. It was tangible. It dealt with our senses. That's still the way the world system operates today. It will touch our senses. You will be drawn by the things that you smell, taste, touch, see, hear. But be careful that it doesn't suck you into and squeeze you into a mold, because the kingdom system is operating by faith in an invisible realm. And again, unless you have your spiritual thinking caps on this morning, you are so fleshly minded, and that's not putting you under condemnation. That's just how we think. And we've got to change the way we think, and we have to become more kingdom-minded. The primary tool of the flesh, listen, you can see it on the screen. The primary tool of the flesh is manipulation. So when you are dealing with any system in the world that is using manipulation as a tool and a tactic, you will, without fail, you will be drawn into a situation that it will bring death and destruction to what's going on. See, if I manipulate you, guess who gets the benefit? I do. If I motivate you in the spirit, what am I motivating? I'm trying to motivate you so that you receive the benefit. I'm giving you resources. I'm giving you information to motivate you to get into the scripture, to find out who Christ is so that it is a mirror of who you are in the spirit realm. And I can only use manipulation tactics that deal with your senses. Tangible. I will use tangible things. And the operation of this kingdom of darkness operates. See, even in the language of the scriptures, manipulation is witchcraft. Our friend Paul White, who was here last weekend, has a series of sermons that I recommend to you on YouTube called Witchcraft in the Church, dealing with manipulation in the church, because it is not a kingdom principle. So this primary tool of manipulation is used to achieve the goal of the system. Let me tell you where it will get you. It is full of empty promises. And it will always deal with your performance. In my relationship with Lisa, if I'm trying to manipulate her, it's obviously for my benefit, but it will deal with her behavior. Can I speak to you who are dating and seeking to be married, or some of you that are even married that are dealing with this type of operation in your marriage? This goes for any relationship. If manipulation is used as a common tactic, it's going to lead to death and destruction in that relationship. Because sooner or later, the one being manipulated will either give up and quit trying, or they'll realize they're being manipulated and get out. I don't know where that came from. That's not even in the notes this morning. So somebody must need to hear that piece of advice. Can I tell you, can I encourage you, can I excite you this morning? We do not live this way, nor do we fight with these types of tactics and principles, because we are kingdom-minded. Can I get an amen? We never have, and we never will. In the kingdom, the tools of our trade are not for marketing. What do you mean? Well, how are the tools not for marketing? They're not offered for sale to someone. They're not put out on the market. They are spiritual tools that are God-given to us. And our tools are not for manipulation. I'm sure that I could give you tons of examples of what you would call televangelists who have manipulated money out of people through the years. I just recently watched two documentaries, one on David Koresh and the Branch Davidians, and the other one on Jim Jones and Jonestown. They were manipulators. They were not kingdom-minded. They built their own castles. They manipulated people. And look what happened. What did I just tell you a few moments ago? The end of that manipulation was death and destruction for hundreds of people in both cases. Get up on the edge of your seat. Shake it off, the sleep off right now. Lean in. I won't take much more of your time. And let's discuss the tools of the trade. They are energized with divine power, and they are designed to effectively carry out four things. Are you ready? If you're sitting next to someone, gently touch them on the shoulder and say, "Are you ready? Are you ready?" Number one, they are designed to demolish the entire massively corrupt culture of the world system. They are designed to demolish every fantasy that opposes the kingdom of God. I'm talking about tools that you have to demolish. How many of you have ever worked in construction? See some hands. There you go. A lot of times in remodeling projects, the first thing that has to take place is demolition. I give permits in the city of Nitro for building permits, and a lot of guys are coming in with a permit to demolish something so that it can be rebuilt. We have a tool that we have been given that is energized with divine power, and it is designed to effectively demolish the entire massive corrupt system of the world. That's good news, folks. You have this tool at your disposal. If you were wearing a tool belt, you could reach down right now and pull out the tool that is designed to demolish this massive corrupt system. What are you saying? That greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We have overcome the world even by our faith and his faith in what he did for us. I like the way the Passion Translation pointed out that it demolishes every fantasy that opposes the kingdom of God. Because it is just that. It's a fantasy, because it could never be a reality that the kingdom of God would be overcome, slowed down, impeded, stopped, or shaken. That's good preaching. It's a fantasy to think if anyone would have a mindset to think that they could destroy the kingdom of God. Matter of fact, the kingdom of darkness that was against the kingdom of God has already been defeated, demolished, deranked, derobed, and has no power. Because Jesus said, "I have all power, both in heaven and on earth." And if he's got all of something, nobody else has any of it. And if he has all of it, it's his right and authority to give it to his children. He's given us the kingdom, so now you have all authority both on in heaven. See, I have the power. I didn't get keys that give me entrance into the kingdom. Because I gained entrance into the kingdom, he gave me keys. Now I have keys to unlock and lock. I can release. I have authority that Christ has given me because it was his to give, so that I can reach into the heavenly realm of realities and pull down and unlock what has already been unlocked in heaven and pull it down to a realm where I'm in this realm, but I'm not of this realm. My authority is from the realm above, but I pull down that authority into this realm, in it, but not of it, and I demolish the entire massive corrupt system. That's good preaching. That makes me want to shout, run, jump, and say hallelujah. Number two, these weapons that are energized with divine power are designed to dismantle the defenses behind which people hide, commonly referred to in King James language as strongholds. People are hiding behind strongholds. Let me define how strongholds take place. Hurts become hang-ups. Hang-ups become habits. Habits become strongholds. Did you hear me? You've been hurt somewhere along life's highway. You hung on to that hurt, and it became a hang-up for you. It became an excuse. It became, "I'm blaming that." You never got healed over that hurt. And because you never got healed over that hurt, and it became a hang-up, then you turn that hang-up into a habit. Now it's a habit to blame, to point the accusing finger at, and to say, "I am this way because they did this to me," or "I am this way because this situation and this event took place in my life," and because you have unhealed hurts that became hang-ups, and now you have become, they've become habits in your life. Now there are strongholds that you hide behind. But you have been given a tool in the Spirit that if you will use it, can completely dismantle the stronghold behind which you are hiding. Strongholds are rebellious castles. They are centers of opposition to the message of the gospel. Because the gospel says that everyone can be set free. The gospel says you don't have to live behind that stronghold. The gospel says that you can be healed from that hurt of your past. The gospel says it doesn't have to be a habit in your life any longer. The gospel says that he came to set free, to bring liberty to those that were captive. And it's time for you to realize that you have a tool in your tool belt, a weapon in your arsenal that you can use that's been divinely energized with power to dismantle the strongholds in your life. I feel like preaching. Because what I am offering you today is freedom. Well, Pastor, I got saved a long time ago, and you were set free from the penalty of sin, but you're still hung up with hurts that have become habits in your life, and those habits have caused you to be ineffective and not impact the culture around you and be conformed to it rather than transform it. I'm going to tell you something. If we're 35, 50, 75 strong at Grace Life, we are going to impact our culture. We're going to make a difference in our society because people are going to be kingdom-minded and they're going to begin to transform every situation that they step into. And we're going to keep feeding you and giving you resources to build you up in your spirit, man, to give you courage to be released with passion and compassion into this world. My goodness, you're already living with the greatest inheritance that you could ever receive. He's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. There's no good thing that he has withheld from them who believe. These are tools that are in your tool belt. Number three, you have an effective, powerfully designed tool to destroy warped philosophies. Let me talk at that for just a second. Philosophies are a particular system and way of thinking. It's a theory or an attitude held by a person or organization that acts as a guiding principle for behavior. The world system has adopted philosophies that even believers have used as a guiding principle to excuse their behavior. Wow. But you've been given a tool by Almighty God in the Spirit to destroy every warped philosophy and ungodly way of thinking. I'll speed up the pace. Number four, Frank, if you'll come. You have been energized with the divine power and given a tool that is designed to decimate barriers erected against the truth of God. This means the tearing down of barriers that have been erected against the truth of God. Do you know what the truth of God is? I've capitalized it because the truth of God is a person. His name is Jesus. So any barrier that has been erected, any obstacle that has been built in your life that is against the truth of God is Antichrist. And there are a lot of people that will stand up in our society today and they will say, I thank God. But let me ask you a question. Is Jesus Christ God? Yes, he is. He's the only true and living God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So if there has been a barrier or an obstacle erected and built in one's path that is opposing the truth of God, then it opposes Jesus as Lord and God. That is the spirit of the Antichrist that Paul said was already leashed in his day and time. And it's a spirit that I have to come against because Jesus is the only way to have a relationship with the Father. Jesus came and he gave us a visible representation of the invisible Father who is in heaven. Wow. I could preach another hour. but I won't. We also now, because we have these four tools at our disposal and in our tool belt, we begin fitting every loose thought, emotion, impulse into the structure and the framework of the life that Christ has shaped for us. He gave us life. He said, I have come to give you life and that more abundantly. Jesus gave us his life. He gave his life to me, he gave his life for me, and now he wants to live his life through me. And so, bringing every thought into captivity means, I'm going to translate it and interpret it this way for us to understand. It's taking every loose thought, emotion, and impulse that's outside the operating principle of the kingdom of God, and it's bringing it into the framework and the mindset of the life of Christ in me. So I have to ask myself a question when I have a loose thought, when I have an impulse, when I have an emotion, is that the way Christ would respond? Is that the framework that he's given me for my soul realm? Simple, very simple. If it doesn't look like, act like, and talk like Jesus, should I be participating in it? Go ahead and start playing there. Would you stand on your feet with me? Our tools of the trade are ready and at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction that is impeding my growth and maturity in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. In other words, we're here to build lives, not tear them down. Now, if your mind was totally on individuals, groups of people, ethnicity groups, sexism, homophobia, if that's where your mindset when I was talking about world systems, you need to repent this morning. See, I'm not asking you to repent of your sins because most of you have already done that. If you haven't, simply believe this morning. And if you'll place your faith in belief in what Jesus did at the cross, he's already accepted you. You're just acknowledging that you recognize and you are being reconciled to the very fact that he has saved your life. But I'd say most of us are there. If you're not, I'd love to pray with you this morning as you believe on Christ as your Lord and Savior. But most of us need to repent of worldly mindsets. Things that we have conformed to the culture of our world in that have left us outside of the framework of the life that Christ has shaped for us. My goal, my intent, my plan this morning was to encourage you with these tools that you have. I had to let you know what and describe and define to you what that world system was so that you could understand what you are demolishing, dismantling, decimating, and destroying. And this morning, I believe it. I believe that God has done a work and is doing a work in people, and you are changing your minds and your hearts. Everything about what is going on right now, if I can just be real and relevant for just a moment, everything that is going on right now is because of a worldly mindset. It's because the world is unprincipled. Their dealings are unethical, and they don't treat people fairly, and that is not kingdom. So I am bringing attention to and want us to focus on kingdom mindsets that in that reality, by faith, we can change the culture that we live in. If you're with me, say amen. Father, thank you for anointing the word as it went forth. I trust that it was transformative and that it will be taken to heart and that we will begin to see a change in our world today for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Just stay with me in the spirit for a moment. A lot of us have had a 30,000-foot view. And today the Holy Spirit wants to bring it down to a 3-foot view. He's speaking and dealing with you about the change that you can make. The change that you can be. Don't wait for an organization, a church, a leader. Do as Holy Spirit prompts you to do. It's there are hurting people in our midst this morning. Those watching by internet, those in the building. Some are going through situations in their life that have been devastating to them over the last few months. Things that they don't understand. Some people have been walked out on. And it's been crushing. Some people are dealing with severe health issues. And it's become debilitating. I recently have been praying and really concerned and burdened for those with mental disorders and emotional upheaval. So I speak to chemical imbalances in the body right now, in the psyche of men and women that are suffering with mental disorders and with emotional upheaval, depression, discouragement, anxiety, post-traumatic stress syndrome. We pray right now that you would bring peace to the mind, to the soul. I'm speaking to someone specifically. I don't know who you are, but Holy Spirit is. You've been on an emotional roller coaster, and you really just can't take it anymore. And Jesus said, is saying to you this morning, that's where I wanted you to be because I want to take care of it. Would you release that into His hands today? Would you give that to Him right now? I feel that some, maybe more than one, you're dealing with health concerns for your aging parents. You need to make decisions. Maybe it's a financial burden. Maybe it's beyond your control and your ability to take care of it, and it's causing stress, heartache. I speak to that situation this morning. God give you wisdom. God give you resources. God bring healing and understanding to that situation right now. I curse and rebuke cancer in Jesus' name. Cancer is no respecter of persons. It affects old, young, black, white, male, female. But we curse it in Jesus' name. And we speak healing. Can I just be real honest with you for just a second? I am battling and struggling with things with the Lord about why certain things aren't happening in people's lives that they desire, that they are believing for, that we've agreed with them over, but they're not manifesting. And I don't understand it. But I'm not going to quit praying. I'm not going to quit asking. But if you've dealt with that in your life or with praying with someone else about that, and you want to pray with me about that this morning, would you just lift your hand? If there's something that you've been asking God for and you really just don't understand why it's not manifesting, hands are going up all over the building. I'm sure there's hands up at home too. It's okay to take those things to the Lord. I found a scripture that over the last several years that says that David took his complaint to God. It's okay to complain to God. Don't complain to me about it because I can't do anything about it. And here I am complaining to you. No, I'm really not. I'm just bringing to light something that I think that we're all dealing with. So let's join together in prayer. Do you have something you want to share before we close? Well, think about it while we pray. Well, Lord, here we are, your sons and your daughters. There's things that are difficult for us to understand. Through the years, I know sometimes we just have to put things on the shelf until you work them out for us. But there are things that I've really been asking for, and I believe they're not amiss. They're in your will, and I don't understand them. And there's other brothers and sisters here that feel the same way this morning. Lord, would you reveal to us what you want to do, how you want to take care of it? Lord, I'm asking for miracles. I'm believing for the supernatural to take place in the lives of my brothers and sisters. Miracles and signs and wonders. We sing about it. We pray about it. We talk about it. Make it a reality. In Jesus' name, for the glory of God. Put your hands together and thank the Lord for hearing that prayer.